Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, for today's episode, us of the JREP crew, barring Matt, who was frolicking out in the countryside, I assume, as he normally does, have finally gotten together and spoke about the Japan Real Estate Summit, which happened earlier this month for the very first time, how it was, what we've enjoyed. Spoiler, we've enjoyed every second of it, but mainly what we've learned. So moving forward, what are we going to do in future events and all of that post-mortem type analysis. And to do that, we've gone over your replies to the survey that you've, or at least some of you, have filled in. And this is a chance to ask you that if you haven't yet filled in our survey, it should be in your inboxes if you've purchased a ticket to the event online. So please let us know what you thought. We've also got some photos for you, which we'll link to in this episode show notes. You can also find them always near the top of our homepage. So just hop over to nippontradings.com with a double P if you want to see some event photos. And we'll soon have the video recordings of the presentations and the Q&A panel ready for you as well. So watch this space. And for now, here we go. This is the JREP members minus Matt debriefing after the event. Enjoy and let us know what you thought. Okay, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel is back in session online. We've just gone on session live in Tokyo, and it was bloody fabulous, wasn't it?
It was amazing. So cool.
Yeah, wonderful. Great job, everyone.
We had a great time.
Yeah, I was actually surprised about how many people stayed all the way to the end to the Q&A session. I thought we'd have like crickets by then, but at least half the room was still there.
I think it was half the room, actually. You know, people came, people from 9 a.m., they really were leaving by that 6 when we were leaving. That was really surprising.
Next time we should bring some beers in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think we had about 60 or 65 attendees at the event, yeah, and about 15 or 20 on the Zoom,
yeah,
which was just mind-blowing. And as you said, the ones that were in attendance, it was a long day, what, eight hours or so, nine, yeah, hours, and the majority of them were there the entire time. I thought some people would come for one or two particular sessions and leave.
Yeah,
that wasn't the case. People stayed the whole time. So very excited.
Yeah, obviously they found value in what.
It also shows how compatible we are as a group.
I think so, and I think people who are watching this who weren't there or didn't know about it, you'll be able to, you know, see snippets and things through. Through various YouTube clips. Are you going to be doing that, Ziv?
Yes, we'll separate the presentations into individual clips, and we'll also have a clip, just a video that's a bit more professionally produced that's going just to cover the day's events, what people thought about it, what it looked like from the audience on stage. So there'll be a lot of content coming out. And I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I'll also be uploading the presentation file itself. It will be downloadable. So if people want to follow along, not with a kind of fuzzy video of the screen, but with the presentations themselves, that'll be available as well.
All right. So I can, You've got all those, don't you? So
I do. Yes, I've got all the presentations.
Nice. Easy. We did get a survey. Do we want to go through the survey? And just because I don't think any of us have seen it, so we can just pick it apart in real time.
Yes, please.
I'll share screen. Here we go. Share screen. There we go. Is that sharing? It is.
Yep.
Let me just bring it to the front so I can see it. So, firstly, you know, I have to have a massive apologies for being such
Tracy, you're sharing the wrong screen.
I'm sharing the wrong screen now. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Stop share. I was trying to bring it in to my here so I can see it. Otherwise, I'm sort of looking at my other screen. So, yeah. Client menu there. No. Desktop 2, desktop 1. There we go. Let's share that. There we go. Is that better?
Yeah. Yes.
Just maximize that. And it'll be
great. There. Let's maximize that. There we go. There we go. Oh, that's better. Nice. Yeah, firstly, it was me. If you got the email three times it wasn't working, that was totally on me. It was late at night. I was trying to get it out that same day, and I was tired, and I apologize. That was, yeah. So someone left me a very funny comment in these responses to say, you know, you could have done better on that. I was like, yep, I'll take
that. Go to sleep. Yeah.
Go to sleep. Well, no, I wanted to get it out while everything was still fresh, but
It would be good for folks who are listening or tuning in now, though. As you can see, we only have 14 responses here. So we would really, really like to hear from all of you. If you didn't receive the email or if you didn't have time to fill it in, let us know and we'll send it back your way. It'll work this time, too.
It will work. So we can just run through it. So there's not a huge amount of questions. So we just wanted to really get a snapshot of how people felt about it and the venue. This is my first time. So in person was most of the people who answered were in person. And I think we got top marks.
We did.
So people are happy with the overall impression of the event, which is I think indicative of the fact that we've all been inside for too long and we haven't been around people for too long. So it's just been great in a room where people are actually speaking. So
also, I think there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast just on audio. So maybe we can even explain some of the numbers.
Right. Yes.
Because not everyone is looking.
Right. Well, yes, so 92% of the people who responded came in person and 7% were streaming. The overall impression was that 63% said it was like amazing. 4 people said, or 26% of people said that was pretty good. 1 person said it was okay. And so that's pretty good. Because we put a lot of work into it, so it's nice to know that it's well received. So value for money. What do you think about these numbers?
I think they're good. I was just scanning those. I see. So 70% said it was just right. What's that? Like 6 respondents, I'd say. Yep. And then maybe 2 respondents said it's a little bit too, it's too expensive. And 1 said it's too cheap. And 1 said, pay a little bit more to have a more spacious area, including evening drinks mingling would be okay with me. So I think the pricing, if we get that many that I think it's just right, I think the pricing was good. We did have early bird pricing. I feel in the future we can do a better job of promoting that.
Mm.
Yep.
Our early bird was a bit last minute and rushed.
Yeah.
So, I think if we give some people the opportunity to get in at the more early bird pricing, that would be,
And we could probably offer a better price if you're coming as a couple, like, you know, if they're, you know, 2 people from the same company or 2, you know, two people from the same family, we could probably
that can definitely be an option as well. Like and I do agree with that. I do agree with that comment of the reason that we made the price as low as it was because we really were able to get some big savings on the venue. But as we'll scroll down, we'll probably see that. Like that commenter said, some people would have maybe preferred a different, more comfortable setting, a better quality setting, and perhaps were willing to pay a bit higher price for it. So we'll consider that as an option as well.
Well, I think there's only one person that actually, 7%. I think that's one.
Yeah, one person.
One response equivalent.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, something like, so overall, I feel, okay, it was a good balance. And when we have so many, such a large number, and we weren't so certain of our expenses and our costs. And we also filled it up. I don't think we had room for any more, which suggests that the pricing is pretty good. And I think as we go through, there will be also even stuff about the food, but we did spend a pretty penny on lunches and drinks, which were fantastic. There was no, you know, trying to cut costs or anything there.
Mm.
So how do people hear about it?
I think we can skip that one because there's so many individual responses, beneficial.
So who did you want to most hear from? So it's pretty evenly matched, I think. We're pretty evenly matched. I think because we did have a good split of content coverage, so.
Yep.
I think even the nature of real estate, so majority, it says like, you know, there's six and six for both myself and Zib, which are residential home purchases and investment properties, which I think are the crust of it. Mm-hmm. The crux of it rather. And then you have the additional stuff after the purchase happens, which is the short-term rental and the renovation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think primarily you need to purchase a property and then you can go down to these additional services that Tracy and Blanca provide. So these kind of make sense, you know, in the overall expectation.
Yeah. Biggest takeaway. That's my favorite part. Give it to us.
Yeah, it is. It's always really, you know, it's always really enlightening what people took away from it. So
look, why don't you read through, Tracy?
I can read through it. So people were saying corporate versus individual ownership of investment properties. So some people got some nuggets there. How to search for investments and who to ask for help. That buying makes a lot of sense in Japan. Someone from a Japanese real estate company came along to hear perspective from, because it was mostly foreigners in the room. It's mostly non-Japanese in the room. We did have a couple of Japanese that were clearly real estate agents. So that was nice that they were able to come along and make some connections. Make connections with other people. Another takeaway was the financing limitation and restriction for non-permanent residents or business owner. And non-existent for family for individual RE equity refinancing. That's
it's
a
always an eye opener for people. That one.
That's a big one. That's always a big one for people. Mm. And again, this is along the same line: not being able to leverage real estate in assets for greater lending power, renovation and financing. And it's amazing to see quality real estate related resources in English. Well, this is why we're here. That's what
we're all about. Yeah.
That's what we're here for. And the mortgage possibilities and residential versus investment property opportunities. So finance is always a massive one. And must learn more on taxing and finance in general and on real estate market especially. I think that's something we'd like to do for a future event is have someone specifically talk about taxes because that's a beast as in every country.
Mm.
And the first thing that comes to mind is reminding me that just the real estate, size, location, price is not always as important as creating the experience and comfort of exploring and getting familiar with a new area. It would be a dream for me to host people be a host for people from outside of Tokyo and helping create those lasting memories. See, this is the my work is done. My work is done.
Yeah, I felt the same when you read the comment about it. Wow, you can invest in Japan. Yes, that's right. It's a good market.
It is. It's different from other markets, but that's a matter of... this is fairly telling. How was the venue? Most people said it was only okay, or, you know...
No, I think 9 people, so of the 14 responses, there were 2 gave it a 5 out of 5, 9 gave it a 4 out of 5, so I think that's good. And then 2 gave it a 3 out of 5, and 1 gave it a 2 out of 5. I thought the venue was actually really, really good, although bright and sunny was what made it a bit challenging.
It's a beautiful space. I'm just the only thing that I was wondering is about how comfortable people were actually sitting there and listening to presentations, and how good the quality of audio and video was because of the light, because of big space. I mean, those are amazing things. I love it that it's like that, but that might have affected a little bit the audio and video quality as well.
My thoughts when I see that is, what are the other realistic options that are in a reasonable budget? And they tend to be just office like darker and gloomier office rooms.
Yeah, you would end up in like a big office room with just the same thing, folding chairs, no windows. I like the fact that we had a full windows and it was really nice and bright, so it gave it more of a social.
And
I think that's why also people were able to stay that long, because if it would be closed in basically a seminar room, you feel claustrophobic after a little bit and tired and sleepy, and you would leave. Whereas if you are in a bright room, you feel upbeat and you have more access to a fresh air and all that stuff.
So I think it's also, once we include more maybe smaller breakout sessions or longer mingling times and places where people can actually socialize more, then those kinds of spaces would actually seem even more attractive, I think.
Hey, we could have a look around. I mean, Tokyo is a big city. I'm sure we can, find something that it will,
get the best of all.
Tick a lot of those boxes. None of these are our spaces, so we have to look around at price and availability. Temperature, I felt, was a little hard. Like, the temperature control, because it was cold and then it was hot, and that was a challenge for me.
I will say though, personally, I feel, I would be fine as well with doing it at the same venue again.
If we
can find something better, of course. But at the same time, I think overall it was quite good, and the responses say that it was positively seen. So
yeah, I think we could also, now that if we do like the venue and we do want to continue with them, and I do very much like the space personally, I think we can also restructure the format of the event and the way that people are sitting in proximity, less proximity, and more breakout sessions, use another floor maybe, and maybe make it so the event suits the venue as well. It could be another aspect to take on that. And then we got food and beverage. People don't actually know how we owe all of that to Blanca, and what a close call it was with the food and beverage.
Tell
them, Blanca.
part of my thing, I can do magics almost instantly.
We were originally going for more finger food that'll be easier to just hold and eat and nibble while you sit. But we had a last minute cancellation, and Blanca saved the day with a restaurant that she knows next door.
Yeah, I think people appreciated as well that we had non-meat options. So well done, Blanca, for that. When it's usually when you get bentos, it's just like, this or nothing. And so I think that was very clever for you to have a non-meat option as well. Well done.
I'm always thinking about that, because done a bunch of events and stuff, and always have the even from doing private tours that was big business, you always have to ask when organizing any food, is okay, at least have the vegetarian option. I try not to go into vegan or any sorts other sorts of diets, but at least having the vegetarian option is always good.
I think for the price that we were charging as well, I think we have to, you know, if you charge more, you've obviously got more of a food and beverage budget. So
if you want to pay 20,000 instead of 5, then, you know, we can absolutely do it somewhere else and have a warm served lunch and full bar and whatever, right? But
I would send out another survey to people, maybe a little bit down the track, to see if people are interested in turning it into a weekend event, because then it opens a lot of options. Then you can have more presentations, more breakout sessions, better value for your money, facility and food and beverage wise. So if people are willing to, you know, to make the commitment to a weekend, let's say 2 days, then I think a lot of things will open up as well.
Of course, that would be another option, because then we can, you know, like from our side, I was thinking of doing a little workshop, because what's the best about reforms, renovations, is when you can actually get your hands dirty and do it yourself, and or learn how to do a particular part yourself. So that would have been one of the good options when, you know, I can bring some of my artisans and they can teach people something. From my, that would be great, and it's fun.
Yeah, workshops, that would be great, actually.
It would be amazing. That would be amazing. Plus, you know, Matt can organize the, you know, the, like in Akia, like as a proper Akia event. So I'm sure he's got he'd love that. So
all right. And then what topics would you like us to cover at future events?
This is always telling. So I can read this. So pure focus on investment properties and investment strategy.
All right. I'll do a seminar on my own.
Just do it. Well, that's a breakout room. That's almost like.
Yeah. Breakout rooms will cover that. Yeah.
Yeah. So invest.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
So investment search, finance, and spend more time on each area. 1 hour for Ziv and Tracy was too short.
Thank you. But that's why we have the podcast, folks, the podcast and the YouTube channel. There's hours upon hours of content from each and every one of us there.
So looking at different case studies for house renovation budget and hearing more about details of loan application, So that's almost like a combo with Blanca and loan applications for renovations.
Yeah.
So
for me, yeah. I think that loan application could be maybe for home loan application or possibly renovation application, like renovation loan application.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying. You know, we can, if we have more time, all this, we had 5 speakers with lunch and everything for one day. So, of course, the space was not there. But if we have weekend, we can, there's a lot we can do.
Accounting.
Real estate service for foreigners who moved for the first time in Japan. So I think we've got at least a couple of speakers that I can think of who can actually do a presentation or a seminar on this particular topic, people who specialize in helping. Because I'm guessing the main point is rentals, right? Which is always tough in Japan if you've just moved. So I think we can bring in somebody who specializes in helping foreigners relocate, yes, which is something that our company does, but specifically find a place to rent. Maybe Mika from Add Value or somebody like her could be good for that.
Because that's always so daunting. There's so, you know, because you know when you get turned away for a few times, it's, you know, it sort of takes the shine off your excitement about moving here. So
there's some very frustrated people out there, and they talk about it a lot, actually.
Exactly. So accounting, of course,
and then tax benefits. Yeah, that's an accountant that we need to bring in, I think.
Yeah, an accountant. Perhaps more intimate involved workshops on each of the topics, or possibly next day based on interest. So there you go. There's your 2-day
weekend event with breakout rooms. Yeah.
So Japan tax liabilities, investment partnership. Yeah, this is a tax.
An interesting one, actually. We've tried that a few times ourselves to get people together, but like they tend to be cautious if they don't know the involved party. So we represent a lot of people that come in together as an investment group, but we actually haven't taken the step to introduce people to form a joint venture and invest in something together. That would be actually an interesting topic to discuss.
I do have inquiries about that, Zib. So yeah, I would like to inquire about it. I'm not too familiar myself with the mechanics of how to get multiple investors who want to set up and combine their funds to purchase one property together.
Yeah, we've done a few sessions with the Gyosei Shoshis and some interested customers about that, so we can probably start a discussion on that.
But at that point you can do crowdfunding for real estate, and you can do it through blockchain
up to 50 people unless you are licensed as a fund structure, I think. Otherwise, once it gets to real crowdfunding, which is beyond 50 people, I think you have to apply for a financial vehicle license.
There's lots of rules and regulations around.
But on the blockchain is interesting. Maybe we can bring Kingsley in actually to talk about that, Blanca.
Yes, that part.
that would be really interesting because, you know, my dream would be to be able to manage a big building that is 100% hotel license, that is a service department type arrangement, and that's often out of the reach of sort of single investors. So
it's
a lot of options. So more of the same. So
definitely have that.
How the global economical and political situation is affecting Japanese real estate. Prediction for the coming 5 years. That's a tough
one. I've got a speaker for that, actually. I've got Dan Gallucci, formerly of Financial Times, who specializes in Asian economy. So I think he can definitely do a deep dive into real estate in Japan in that perspective.
Beautiful. And considering the earning potential and maintenance required, what are the pros and cons of offering a house as a short-term or long-term rental? I.e., my family and I are considering to spend 1 year in the US and would like some advice on how to manage our house while we're away.
That's another Tracy session.
These responses were anonymous. So if this was you writing, please contact me directly. Happy to help with that.
But I think this is like a previous comment. They said not enough of Blanca and Tracy, or who was it? Tracy and someone. I think people want it was me, was it? Okay. So I think people want the deep dives, like actual case studies, break numbers down, show them how it's done. So we can definitely include more of that.
And for Blanca house porn, we need like lots of photos before and after. We want lots of house porn. Give it. Bring it.
And for Matt. Matt's got his own version of house porn.
Yes. All right. And I think this was the last question because we didn't want to
overstress everybody. We know how everybody hates surveys.
So the room was really hot in the morning and there wasn't any space to eat. Yes, that is an absolute fair point. We know that, we acknowledge that. So that's absolutely something we're going to fix the next time. Longer sessions, more than an hour. So that's nice to know that it wasn't enough. Zooming in on the numbers, can't see from afar. Yes, I get that.
I think with this many people, we need to find another solution rather than that small screen that they've got there. So that's definitely something we'll have to improve on next time, because it wasn't just the numbers. There was a lot of stuff that was hard to see, especially if you were sitting in the back.
Well, a screen, you know, you can do like a screen halfway down the room as well as a screen up the front if it was in that place. But then if you're in a ballroom, then you would have the big, big screen. So and getting access to the survey on the first try. Yes, I know, that's all me. Better set up for lunch. Yes, absolutely. Expand panel expertises to bank mortgages, certified tax accountants, and in situ consultation for financing and tax related queries. Yes, that would be lovely.
That would be lovely. We have a weekend. If we have a weekend, then we can have these people over there that can actually talk.
I think that would be fantastic, because then we can actually book individual consultations for anyone that wants to talk to any of us one-on-one, or you know, a couple or a family or partners. And then we can have a special time during the day or the evening in which that happens. And there's no presentations, there's no seminars, just people mingling and talking, and we doing consultations individually with them.
That's right.
It would also give us an option of approaching some of these, you know, loan companies and whatever for.
To send in a representative and sponsor the event as well, right?
And that way would give us option for a better, bigger room.
Because
those are valuable information for next time. So we know if we are planning it ahead, we can plan a weekend event, we can market it and approach some companies.
Exactly.
I think we'll look back at this first event one day and was, wow, we bootstrapped that one. Look at all the things we've learned since then.
But it makes sense for the right partner. It's not, you know, not all sponsors would make sense. So that's on us to make sure that we curate a really good partner that is not just throwing money at us. It's that they're actually providing value.
Really
important. For me, you know, that's my two cents about getting sponsorship. And I think that's really important. More comfortable venue. Registration can be more expensive if people are serious about investing.
I guess that's ticket price, I think.
Ticket price. A desk for note-taking, yes. So those chairs didn't have a desk on them. So we have to speak to Matt about his potty mouth, perhaps, the last thing he's wearing. And testimonials from your customers.
Yeah, so I saw that one. I think we were trying to keep the event to be non-promotional, right? Yes. So our idea was to just provide people with information, answer questions, and show them how things are done that they can then go and do. Of course, we're happy if they do them with us, but they can go and do them with anyone, knowing what they need to look out for.
Exactly.
But I think if you were just mingling and talking to people in the room, there's always going to be a few customers of ours wandering around. We don't point them out, you know, not to embarrass them, but there would always, if you're coming to one of our events, there'd always be customers, existing or potential customers, that have already signed up with us that you can talk to in the room. So don't be shy to ask.
Again, I agree with that. Our whole goal was really not to have a big sales day, but really just to provide value to the market. And that's what this whole you know, podcast is all about. It's not like, you know, it's not just a sales thing. It's information.
But if you do want to buy a house, please email sales at real estate.
If you do
I think on each of our websites, or I know definitely on mine, there's a little banner running somewhere along the bottom or the top with testimonials from customers. Some of them are clickable. You can actually, and we can always put you in touch with people via email as well. Don't be shy to ask.
I have testimonials on my website for both my, because I've got two websites, one for my hosting business, which is Tokyo Family Stays, and one for my consulting business, and both of them have testimonials on it from customers, people who have given me money. So
there's one thing that was mentioned, I think mentioned in one of the comments here, which we discussed as well even before the event, was having a like kind of an after party, a post event sort of drinks, and just to sort of, you know, wind down and wrap up the sort of networking, which we didn't really have a chance to sort of prepare, and there was so much going on with this being our first event. But I do think that's something that will be well received, especially considering how many people were there till sort of the end, to have some kind of kick on thing afterwards, like at a nearby bar or a restaurant.
After party. We can all be inappropriate. In a good way, not in a creepy way.
So that's one thing I would like to add next time.
Definitely.
So then the one-on-one chats, I think we talked about that, so people are wanting that, what those one-on-one chats, so time, so having it over a weekend means that we'll have more time. And bigger screen and paper copy. Do we want to have dead tree versions of our presentations?
I always think about that, actually. We were assuming, we actually talked about it just before we started the event, and we were assuming that people these days make notes, and I saw a lot of people doing that, making notes on their PCs or on their handheld devices or whatnot. So we were really trying to avoid using paper if we don't have to, but maybe a little notepad that comes in a little bag or something.
A little notepad, and then maybe a link to get the presentations online to download.
That'll all be made out. Oh, before the event, you mean? Have them downloadable before the event?
Oh, well, we were working on them until 5 minutes before we went on.
The fact that if you look at presentations out of context, it actually, a lot of it might not make sense. I know that's been the case with me. So it's better if you first listen to them presented live by the person who created them, and then download them and refer to them later. So we'll always have links definitely after the event, but probably not before, I think.
I was thinking printing my slides, but then I didn't go ahead with it. But now in hindsight, in big part, because the screen was quite small and hard for people to see, I feel in that case it could have justified the printing of the slides.
Mm. Yeah,
you can print them as a summary page though, so like small versions with like plate like
and places to make notes.
Three slides per page, and then so if you do two to a page, that's six slides per page. So that reduces the number of dead trees.
And it gives people something to write on. So that's probably a good idea.
We can prepare basically like a booklet for next time that people would get when they come in.
Yep.
And then can follow that up.
Yeah, with a little little plastic pen attached to it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And breakout sessions. So. Yep. Breakout sessions. So, and case studies. Nijikai.
Everybody wants Nijikai.
Everyone's Nijikai.
Yeah.
And then last one, I love a little pie chart. They're always so colorful. So most people would want to come.
Not a single no. Let's just rest there for a second. Nobody said they would not come to another session. We appreciate that, folks. Thank you.
Well, yes, but if you weren't happy with it, would you have filled out the survey? I don't know, unless you were sort of angry. Unless you were angry. And then my little cheeky was like, maybe it's complicated. I was just trying to be fun. someone else, I gave people the opportunity to fill in some detail, and it would, as long as it's not exactly the same as it was when we just did it. And that's a fair call. It's not, we're not going to repeat it. I think we've learned what people want to hear about. So we're going to give you more of what you want and less of what you don't. I know I have that in my head. So yeah. So thank you to everyone who's filled it out so far. And if you haven't, Ziv, you're going to drop the link to this in the show notes. Is that correct?
I shall.
Excellent.
I shall. And I guess, but actually if I drop the link in the show notes, then people who have not attended the event can reply as well. So
I don't think that's a big...
Not going to happen? Oh. Okay.
Actually, no. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Look, whoever attended, I think they received an email.
Yes.
Saying, please fill out the survey.
I'll send another email with the link again as a final reminder, but also another question of would you likely want to come, you know, want to take people's temperature on a weekend?
Yes. Yeah.
And how much would people want to pay for that? So
yeah, so we can add a couple of questions on that, and then maybe give people, because just on the technical side, the ticketing platform does not collect and distribute your emails. They're very good on privacy. So we don't have a copy of your emails, which is fine with us. But if you do want us to reach out, or you want to reach out to us, or you want to join any of our mailing lists to get information on stuff that we're doing, be informed about future events. So we'll maybe add an option to include your email address if you wanted to. Otherwise, of course, completely anonymous is fine as well.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We wanted it anonymous so we could get some honest answers. So, and I think we did. I think we got some honest answers. So let's just share. Stop the share. There we go.
Yeah. But I think all in all, it was a good day. I think that we're definitely at dinner that day and a little bit the day after, we were all of us quite on a high, I think. So we definitely enjoyed it at least as much as you did, maybe a bit more, I think.
Yeah, it was great. But it was also good that we, or like all of us, got to actually see that we have legs and we're real people.
Be the same room. I think that was really, really great for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Emil and I see Blanca all the time. So it was just good to see.
nice seeing everyone together.
Yeah.
And I promise to practice the projecting streaming thing a bit more before the next one. It worked. It was okay. It worked smoothly, but there was stuff showing up on one screen that shouldn't have showed up, and things moving around that shouldn't have. So we'll better that. Apologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when are we likely to do the next one, do you think?
Summer was the plan, right?
No. I think September. My general thinking is the holidays are, you know, December and August. So when everyone returns back from their holidays and is ready to sort of hit the ground, you know, semi-running, strolling at least, but back into work. So February and September after the holidays, I think are good timings.
Yeah.
I'll make sure not to book any flights in September.
Well, I've already, just so you know, I've actually already booked a speaking gig in Australia for the first week in September. So I'm speaking at a retreat, which is going to be interesting. So it's a short-term rental retreat outside of Sydney, and it's going to be very, very fashionable. So
nice.
I'm the inbound talent, which is kind of fun.
Very cool. I've never tried to do that. Like, I organize little seminars and groups and stuff whenever I go anywhere, but I've never actually tried to apply to speak at gigs. That could be interesting. Hopefully they pay for the flights.
They asked me. They approached me. They've got, like, for those people who are in Australia, someone from The Block is an MC, and someone from Morning Tea. Like, it's a pretty glamour event. I'm like,
big times.
Like, oh, you want me? Okay. Yeah. That's like, you're gonna pay for me? Okay. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Basically,
which city? Newcastle?
No, it's a country retreat in not far from Wollongong.
Okay.
So it's in, it's actually at like a, like an event space, like a proper retreat space, but they do weddings and big sort of destination wedding type things. And then they're also going to do tours of short-term rentals in the area that are, you know, that are pretty fancy. So, yeah. So that's a three-day retreat. Happy days.
Right. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending, and thank you to all of you here. I'm sorry Matt couldn't be with us today, but I'm sure he very much appreciates your attention on the day as well, and the survey responses. And we hope to see you with us in September, perhaps for a weekend. We'll see what you say, what you tell us on the surveys.
Yep, expect a survey. So, but if you've also got questions on the survey, put them in the comments of this, you know, if you didn't go to the event. So you missed out, still comment on here.
Yes, please. And we'll be releasing content over the next couple of weeks, so you'll have it all downloadable. And enjoy the ride. And Tracy, once you stop recording, though, I just got a question to ask you, so don't leave yet.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 So, yeah, those are thoughts that we had after the fact, and plenty of those came from you, so we appreciate that, and we're really glad that you loved the event. Well, we're really excited about the fact that you wanted more content and more sessions and more time to socialize and ask questions and so forth. So if you also think that you'd like to attend a weekend event next time, do chime in this episode's comment section, wherever you may have found it. Let us know what you think the next event should look like, feel like, and include, and what the cost should be. We just want to make it better for all of you. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time.